Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the Toglamak forces in Quadrant 11. Stand by. Relief is coming. From the Ghost Cavalry, good morning to the robot soldiers marching on the moon. I'll be seeing you soon. Good morning, robot soldier people, fighting till the death for your robot girl Beth. Because it is February the 11th, 2026, and it's almost 6:10 a.m. on a Wednesday, and I'm trying to be a little bit quiet for this podcast because, well, I share the house, and the house is like a big metal bell, and noises travel. But it is 6:10 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula on February the 11th, 2026. Get your kicks, baby, in 2026. Go down to the beach. Nothing is out of reach. Your magic submarine, it can be seen like a glowing lantern sending you home. So stop the gloam and glow up, glowy, because your world's changing. AI's coming for you to help you out with nuclear power and atomic underwear. So in recent weeks, I've had training on Wednesdays in the morning. We have training today. And technically, we get paid to go, so we go. Recent training has been about culture and respecting the indigenous peoples. If you've listened to my podcast since forever, my position on this issue has been pretty clear, and I think there's been a lot of respect. But what I've discovered about these special kinds of training is that the people that need them don't understand them. And the people that don't need them get pissed off for going. And this is something that the people don't get, the trainers. That it doesn't seem like education. It seems like indoctrination. And like professional failure. When you say to me, buddy, you need to go to special training so you feel sorry and sad and you understand and get mad, you dig below the iceberg to find the deeper culture. But all I can tell you is fuck you. I have no culture. You can say I'm Irish American. What the fuck is that? People get to make fun of that once a year and call it respect, right? I was raised Catholic, but I find the Vatican reprehensible. That doesn't mean that there are no Christians who are Catholic. It just means that the Vatican is reprehensible. The Pope is the Bishop of Rome, and people need to wake up to that. It's been a couple thousand years, almost. Well, technically, it's been since the 4th century AD, so it's been more like 1700 years. But let's, you know, take the ceiling, not the floor, and let's wake the fuck up. The Vatican is not a holy place. The Pope is not a holy person. The Vatican's about power. It's always been about power. So if you're going to toss the Catholic thing as part of my culture, all I got to say is fuck you. And as far as Ireland goes, I don't know. Ireland's been a kind of toilet for European culture for a few hundred years now. And the United Kingdom more or less raped that place for 800 years. It's hard for me to see how that culture has a meaningful connection to my living here in the United States since 1970. I was told to leave home. I was told in high school that the smart kids, the bright kids, the good kids, the kids with a future, They leave home. They abandon their house. They say goodbye to mom and pop, and they take the long walk. But then you get back there, maybe sophomore, maybe junior year, and you have a beer. And you find out that your home is gone. Your house is owned by somebody else, more or less. The place that you called your place has been destroyed. It's gone. You were told to leave, and while you were gone, it was all destroyed, and it wasn't destroyed by anyone in particular. It was destroyed by all the idiots. You say, oh, you must be mega. No, mega sucks. You must be no, Democrats suck. The libertarians suck. The communists suck. You want to obsess over your culture? Oh, I'm a Jewish American. I'm an Italian American. I'm an African American. I'm a Chinese American. And I built the railroads. Shame on you, Fu Manchu. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I've arrived at the place where I started. And it's basically Nietzsche's position that these obsessions over culture are a fetish. You want to talk about white culture? What the fuck is that? It doesn't mean anything to me. I've never been considered white. I'm a fucking ginger, you fuck. I've always been considered a kind of second-class white person. I'll never forget that meeting with the CIO of Henry Ford Medical Center, 2007. And his friend, his intelligent friend, was confused as to why an Irishman programs computers. Which again, this wasn't 1897 or 1807. This was the year 2007. So I've never been part of your white fucking culture. I've never been a WASP. I've never been invited to your white fucking parties. So if you think your culture is something that I'm going to defend, you can go fuck yourself. You pile buffalo from here to Timbuktu. Okay? And if you want me to talk about the Native Americans, this is all I'm going to tell you. The people alive today who are living on the reservations are not the ones that were slaughtered. And lots of people have been slaughtered. And I'm so fucking tired of the hair shirts. I don't care if it's the Middle Passage. I don't care if it's the great die-off of indigenous peoples. I don't care if it's the fucking Holocaust, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Dresden, the Great Leap Forward. I can keep fucking going. Stalin's terror, that was a blast. Your pain, your sadness, the scars you hold inside of you, that's your fucking business. If you're going to build a political party or a movement around it, you suck. If you're going to institutionalize revenge as a means of healing, you really, really suck. And if you don't understand that all these forms, the forms of quote-unquote restorative, redistributive justice are basically forms of punishment, if you don't get that, you fucking suck. That's how I feel about your culture. That's how I feel about whatever fucking culture you think I have. It sucks. It's stupid. And if you come back to me, well, Jesus, no. I'll stop you right there. The reason why the Roman Empire could so easily rip off the Christian faith is because there's something in there that the Romans could use. And that is the kind of universalist perspective. But the thing that was universal about Christ was not a respect for all cultures. I don't think Christ respected, you know, the dustiness of history the way that you might think he did. He was the Son of God. His role here was redemption. It wasn't to tell you that Germans are good, or Japanese are good, or the Aztecs are good or bad. His job was not to tell people whether where they were born was a particularly nice part of this dusty, nasty, shitty place that isn't Eden. That wasn't his role. His role was to redeem us. His role was to save the human race and to give us a path. It wasn't a guarantee. There's a lot you got to do as a Christian to include having faith. But that was his role. If you think his role was to tell you that white culture was better than non-white culture, then yeah, your culture sucks too, bro. I was told to leave home. I was told to dump my culture. I was told that the town I was born in was irrelevant. I was told to engage with the globalism and the just-in-time. and it turned out to be a giant empty nothing, and now you want to talk to me about your fucking culture. Whatever culture I had, I was told to abandon when I was 18 years old. Fuck off. Next topic. So, the price of my t-shirts is going up to 40 bucks a t-shirt. If you don't know why, it's really simple. I could probably do less than 40 in bulk. So if somebody said, I want to buy 100, I would negotiate with you. It's actually in the instructions. But on a onesie-twosie basis, I can't afford to do 30 bucks. And if you want to say, well, didn't Trump solve inflation? I got a bridge to sell you. Next topic. So the Epstein files were finally released. And also, if you believe that, I have another bridge to sell you. And I'm not going to read the Dr. Freckles quote because it's kind of dumb. But here's what I would tell you about Epstein. Starting in 2019, Epstein to me looked like a roadshow. And when I say roadshow, think of the Clinton roadshow, the Clinton fucking trauma drama roadshow that goes back almost 40 fucking years. Has Hillary gone to jail? Has Bill? Are they going to go to jail? No. The purpose of the roadshow is never that it ends up at a place called Justice. You're kidding yourself. Justice is put in sarcastic quotes. That's the name of the town. The purpose of the roadshow is to keep you dazed and confused, to keep you dazzled and amazed, to keep you in a state of obsession, and you're never going to get resolution. That was the Clinton roadshow. And Epstein started looking like that to me in 2019. And if you listen to my podcast, you know I'm telling you the fucking truth. So now we have the final release of the final release of the final release. And again, it's so stupid. If you take it seriously, that's on you. It's like the 1980s rug warehouse going out of business sale. That is the roadshow. That is Epstein. That's Clinton. Frankly, that's Trump. That's all these people. They serve more than one purpose. And one of their purposes is to keep you dazed and confused and dazzled and pissed off and focused on the wrong fucking things at the wrong fucking time. If you want to focus on Epstein at this point, you can go ahead. Does this mean I deny the existence of elite pedophile networks? Hell no. Those have been around for 7,000 years and they continue to operate. Arguably, 2020, when Trump was president, was probably the most golden year for pedophiles and pedophile rings in the last 7,000, and I would stake my living soul on that before God. Yeah, Trump was president in 2020, and he probably oversaw the biggest fucking period of child abuse, child sexual abuse, ritualistic abuse in the last 7,000 years. And I'm trying to say that quietly, because this house rings like a bell. Next topic, right? Have you ever seen those paintings of the railroad heading across the Great West? Piles of buffalo stacked up to the blue. Lots of red goo. Lots of quote-unquote good white culture people from the East laughing and having fun as they kill off all the buffalo. And not too far away, there would have been indigenous people starving to death. But that's the part that you don't see in the painting. You see the rifles, the Sharps, the what 44-40s, you see the cowboys and the women, you see the train, you don't see the starvation. Some other painters painted that, some other photographers during the early age of photography took pictures of it, but you don't see that in that one particular painting. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. There are people in this world who will crowd a nearby hill to watch their neighbors blown to pieces. There are people, I don't want to call them people, there are wretched people who will crowd the hill to watch the blood spill, to watch the smoke billow. They'll even bring their favorite fucking pillow. There have been photographs since 2023 of Israeli citizens sitting on hills near Gaza, watching the IDF bomb Gaza. And I freely admit I was off on my calculations because I was dazzled by the numbers. It looks like they're closer to 1 or 2 kilotons per square mile at this point, maybe more, maybe 3 kilotons. And if you think that's a small number compared to 10 or 15, it is smaller. But when you're at the scale of 1,000 tons of TNT per square mile, you've already crossed into a hellish range. And if the comeback is from all the experts that they didn't drop them evenly, that makes it even worse. And if the comeback is these really poor, dumb Palestinians had a really amazing tunnel network that could survive infiltration from the Mediterranean Sea after bombardment of over 150,000 tons of TNT, it's hard for me to believe. But yeah, like the rest of you, I was dazzled by the numbers because it seemed so obscene. But what is as obscene, perhaps more obscene, than the amount of tonnage dropped on Gaza? Are these photographs of Israeli citizens sitting up there drinking wine, eating their fucking popcorn, sharing their fucking kosher hot dogs as they watch people being slaughtered? Now you could say, well, Dan, it's okay. God is okay with this. Not the Christian God, and there is only one God, so I don't know who you're talking about. Christ would not be okay with this. He loved giving speeches on hills, and he loved talking to people in these types of situations, but it wasn't for the purpose of rounding them up and killing them or putting people together to watch people be killed. So no, don't put this on God, because if you do, then I'm left with there is no God. There is no God. If God approves of this, then he either doesn't exist or he is a wretched piece of shit. But that's not the God I believe in. That's not Christ. Christ heals. Christ takes away the sins of the world. He doesn't tell people to go up on a hill and watch their neighbors being killed. So if you want to talk to me about the state of Israel and the Zionists and how good they are, you can fuck off with that culture too. Of all the shitty fucking cultures in the history of the fucking world, their culture is the worst. It is the worst. Most of them are genetically unrelated to the Hebrews. Most of them are not really Semitic. Check skin cancer rates. Most of these motherfuckers are Polish and Ukrainian pretending to believe in God for the purpose of crime. They're criminals. They're gangsters. Call them what they are. They're murderers. And murderers love to watch people being killed. Next topic. Dan, that's so unfair to the... No, fuck you. Fuck the state of Israel. And fuck whatever culture you're about to email me about. Motherfucker. So, I'm not going to read the article. You can. I have a link to NASA.gov. about the upcoming Artemis II mission to the moon. A friend of mine sent me an update link about it, and I just wasn't that interested. I've had a hard time being interested in space since probably the year 2000. And the reason is really quite simple, that if you understand how much money this government has wasted, then you're left with a few possibilities, none of which equals we went to the moon. None of it does. So I'm not really that interested. Clearly, a lot of people believe the NASA story. But if you look at the raw numbers of unique people who've been to quote-unquote space, that number is still less than 1,000, I think. And most of those went about, 100 miles up. And many today who are going to space are going about 50 miles up. Only a very few more than 50 years ago, okay? Very few more than 50 frickin' years ago actually did this. Went past low Earth orbit, went to the moon. In a few days, maybe a few weeks, who knows, they keep changing things. But at some point in the next month, a mission team of 4 people, not 3, Apollo was 3 astronauts for the Apollo vehicle. This will be 4 for Orion and Artemis II mission. They're going to be heading to the moon to do an orbital mission. The first trip to the moon under Apollo happened in 1968. I believe the mission commander was Jim Lovell. He also was the mission commander for Apollo 13. Great movie, right? The first mission was 68. They went around the moon. They orbited the moon, I think, once or twice. And then they took the trip back to Earth. This will be similar to that trip. It'll be an orbital mission. We're not landing on the moon yet. We're simply going to take a trip around and come back home. I don't want to spend any more time on this. I do wonder if they're going to take Starfield pics as they coast to the moon and coast back from the moon this time. And if they tell us, well, the sun is too bright, that's funny because every digital camera has a filter on it. So here's the deal, folks. If you want to believe the sun is too bright, they were at the wrong angle, the stars disappear in space, you can believe whatever nonsense you want to believe. The bottom line is, however, the clearest perspective to take pictures of the stars is from space. That's why they said they wanted to build a Hubble telescope where? In the ocean? Under the sand? At the top of a mountain in Hawaii? No, you build it in space. So that argument doesn't really work. It doesn't work for technical reasons, history of technology reasons, engineering reasons. So if they do take this trip to the moon and we get no Starfield shots from the trip itself and with timestamps, and I mean live. I don't mean a few days later after the supercomputers do the whole three bodies problem. I mean live shots. If we get live Starfield shots, then you know what? Maybe I'll have to rethink some of my negative views on this. But if we get nothing but excuses and get really crappy moon shots, the same crap we've seen, just with higher resolution, I don't know. But you believe what you want to believe. I know people need to believe in this. They need to believe in AI and fusion energy. They need to believe we're going to live on Mars, because if you take that away from people at this point, there's very little in this secular, rather fallen society left to believe in. Oh, but you can believe in Papa Blump. You sure as shit can, buddy. You can. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Many firsts explode. It's okay to be second. It's okay to be second. Many first attempts, whether going to space, many first attempts, whether it's human flight, you get a big fright. As the wax melts and your wings fall apart, Icarus. Many first attempts, they fail. Many first attempts never set sail. Many first attempts are vaporware. It's okay to be second. I don't know that people understand this as adults at this point, because there aren't that many adults left, and I'll include myself. But in reality, for real people in the real world, and I'm not talking cartoon people, I'm talking actual human beings, for human beings that succeed, it's often a question of what year and what decade did you observe them, huh? But if they succeed, there's usually a lot of failure too. And we're not supposed to talk about that. We're not supposed to talk about the fact that there's failure on your way to success. We're not supposed to talk about the fact that sometimes it's really hard if you want to win. And sometimes you have to lose a shit ton. And frankly, in the world of physics and engineering, sometimes it's better to be second. You know? You ever hear of Marie Curie? She was first. Her and her husband would breathe in the radium. It'll cure the flu. It'll cure the cold. It'll take away the mold. Just breathe some radium and some radon gas. Just breathe it in, baby. It's radioactive. It'll give you power. No, Marie Curie was first, and she got radiation illness and died. A lot of people are first, and there are certain fields where being first, the first person to reach Antarctica, the first person to climb a mountain, the first person to cure a deadly disease. Sometimes being first means you get killed. it's okay to be second. It's okay to be the person that comes around and actually succeeds and survives. Sometimes we give credit posthumously, and we should give posthumous credit to those who were there first but died. But it's also okay to be second and to win and to survive. Next topic. Just be smart, my friends, out there in planetoid world. If you want to be like the gingerbread man. So this is maybe the most important article I'll read today. This comes from the New York Post. It was published on the 2nd of February of this year, 2026. The author is Ben Cost. Headline, "Hospital Evacuated After 8-Inch World War I Artillery Shell Discovered in Patient's Butt." He had some explosive indigestion. He had a fire down below. A hospital in France was evacuated after a male patient arrived with a World War I artillery shell lodged in his backside. According to the bombshell report, the unnamed 24-year-old had been rushed to the Rangil Accident and Emergency Unit in Toulouse late Saturday night, the Daily Mail reported. The poor fellow was in a state of extreme discomfort, having inserted a large object up his rectum, an insider said. Surgeons conducted emergency surgery during which they discovered the shocking source of his pain, a live 8-inch bombshell from 1918 that had been lodged inside of him. Fearing a potential fire in the hole and the hospital, medical personnel alerted the bomb squad and fire brigade and evacuated the facility. Meanwhile, a security perimeter was formed around the medical center and the patient's butt crack as the authorities investigated the explosive situation. Fortunately, the retro ammunition, which was also pointed and over an inch wide, was not deemed a threat. The bomb disposal experts took the shell with them while the patient, a French national, remained at the hospital so he could recover from surgery. It was unclear how the antique ordnance ended up in the man's posterior, but experts suspected the combustible could have been the result of a party stunned gone awry. However, France's Le Depeche newspaper wrote that medical staff in Toulouse are accustomed to treating victims injured during sexual games. The shell-shocked patient is expected to be interviewed by authorities later this week, while prosecutors are considering taking legal action against him for handling Category A munitions in his anus, per an officer. Shells, such as the one found in the man's bum, were used during the First World War by the Imperial German Army, which deployed hundreds of thousands against the British and the French armies across the Western Front between 1914 and 1918. They leave out the British and French munitions. The explosives, which are date-stamped, regularly turn up during the Iron Harvest, the annual collection of often unexploded munitions from both world wars, which are found on farmland, building sites, and other disrupted land. And while a person's butt might seem like a strange location for one of them to surface, shockingly, this wasn't the first at a French hospital. In 2022, the hospital Saint-Maul in Toulon was partially evacuated after an 88-year-old man arrived with a World War I artillery shell similarly lodged in his butt crack. This stuff happens, folks. You can laugh about it. You can pretend it doesn't happen, but it happens often and almost every day. Someplace in the world, there's a man, most likely a dude, probably some women too, finding old artillery shells and like 20 Mike, maybe even Willie Pete, Oh, that's a burning fire. And they stick it up there, where there is no hair. Dan, this sounds like NPR for crazy people that live inside the storm drains, and you'd be correct. Next topic. So one of the revelations coming out of the Epstein limited hangouts is that Bill Gates needed Epstein's help to get some antibiotics that Bill would secretly put in his wife Melinda's drinks. Okay, so put on your Sovietologist helmet and tell me, do you think this story could be remotely true? Remotely true. I'm serious. Think as a Sovietologist. Is Bill Gates somebody who needs anybody's help getting any drugs, let alone antibiotics? Is he somebody that would have no resources for doing this, both in the white market, the gray market, or the black market? The answer is he has plenty of resources. When you become a billionaire, you don't even shop the same way other people do. You certainly don't need to go to your quote-unquote friend Epstein and get help, you know, with an antibiotic that you're going to slip into your wife's drink. Now, if you want to come back with, well, he's just a geek and a nerd, that's fine. That's not a very good answer, but you could come back to that point. I think it's rather stupid. To me, this is a good example of crap that they put into the Epstein release just to keep people confused. I doubt this story is true at all. This is probably one of those fake stories they put in there just so that people could focus on the wrong thing. If you want to obsess over Bill Gates needing anybody's help, anyone's help to get antibiotics, then you can. You can do that. Mr. Event 201, you can obsess over that all you want to, but you look crazy to me. Motherfucking crazy. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. A sociopath is someone who can get suckered. They can get suckered. They do get suckered. They don't care. A sociopath is someone who can get dumped, who can get suckered, who can get ripped off, who can get injured. And they don't really care. They're not a care bear. And this may not be a completely solid point. Dr. Freckles may be a little off kilter with this one, but what I've found about dangerous people is that in general, hating them or being angry at them or foisting your bile at them does nothing. Some cases, it kind of excites them. True sociopaths don't give a shit. They don't give a shit if they're heard or listened to. They don't even care if they're lonely. I'm a hermit, and even I can get lonely. True sociopaths don't really get lonely. They get ripped off, and they might get even, but they don't really care about the getting ripped off part. It's the excuse to get even that turns them on. Anyways. I'm just a gingerbread man. What the fuck do I know? I have shit culture. Which means I have fuck. I have fuck all. Nothing culture. Empty, empty nothing. I have not researched Mr. Beast. If you've researched Mr. Beast and you'd like to send me an email, hey, you know, you've got my address, right? All five of my Fed friends. But the little bit I've looked into Mr. Beast, this is what I'll say. He was raised Christian. He claims to not be a Christian. I think you should take him seriously. He treats philanthropy like an influence game, and he thinks it's the right thing to do. There have been TED Talks on it where people try to rationalize it. It looks kind of terrible to me. Even if he is helping people, the way he's doing it is probably harming more. In fact, harming way more. And at the same time, he's doing it for the purpose of increasing his recognition and his brand. Now, you could say, well, he calls himself Mr. Beast, and that's, you know, that's ironic or something. I don't know. I don't know if it's ironic. And the reason why I'm ending with this is we got to be careful. This week, one of the things we did in class is we talked about internet safety. And one of the issues you confront on the internet is fake people, people that really don't exist. Sometimes it's just to grift you, to rip you off. Sometimes it's just a call center in Mumbai, and that's it. And sometimes it's a caricature, a structure, a cartoon, a going concern, or a roadshow, like Epstein. A lot of people are stuck on the, he was killed, he committed suicide, maybe he's alive, but I'm at the point now where maybe he was never a real person in the first place. Like, you want to believe he was real because, you know, he was in that position for so long. But in the clandestine world, people can be in position for decades and then be removed. And there are lots of reasons for pulling a person out of an operation. And I'd say they had plenty of reasons in 2019 to pull Mr. Epstein out. So when you look at Mr. Beast, don't assume this Donaldson guy is real. His backstory sounds like a cartoon. And as a Sovietologist, I would tilt towards cartoon. Just like when you read an article that talks about a top secret bunker, it's probably not. If you read an article that says Bill Gates needed help from anybody, stop you right there. Bill Gates can get any drug he wants. Okay, that's a bullshit story. Mr. Beast has a backstory, but it looks cartoonish. It looks like a joke. He does look set up to be one of those representatives of the Antichrist. I'm not saying he is the Antichrist. I think that would be ridiculous. But he's one of these people that might end up supporting him, giving him that kind of stage or giving him that voice. I'm not sure he's the John the Baptist, or I should rather say the dark John the Baptist, but he could be. He could be. I kind of think it's going to be Trump or J.D. Trance. I think J.D. could potentially be the guy, but who knows? Who knows? He's got weird eyes, that J.D. Trance. And Mr. Beast has weird eyes, too. They both use a lot of that. I don't know what you call it. Because I don't buy it. Eyeshadow? Whatever. Yeah, I don't buy it. It is Wednesday, February the 11th, 2026. If you can believe it, we're in year 7 of Boblimpdoc. And in year 7 of Boblimpdoc, we're stuck with, oh, it lasted longer than 5 years, Dan, you fuck. I was set up in my bunker with my hooker wife. The lights are still on. Nothing's going on. You promised, Dan. No, yeah. I figured this nonsense, this high-intensity psyop bullshit, couldn't last much more than 5 years. That was an assumption. I am surprised every day that the wheels are on the wagon, and I might still be just as surprised a year from now. I was surprised a year ago. To me, the day of the McPoyle plot, July 2024, Boblimpdoc, when Trump survived with that Iwo Jima camera pick, and when I told people my opinion, immediately, including listeners, came back with, Dan, you're crazy. That was totally, totally real. Why would they kill a person to make something seem realer? They do that a lot. 9/11, you know, remember the Maine. They do that shit a lot. They kill people to make something seem more real. It turns out blood is more real than corn syrup and dye. So I don't know who or what Mr. Beast is. Just be careful. Now's a good time to be careful. If you don't believe in God, now's a good time to be careful. If you do believe in God, now's a good time to be careful. There are many voices out there right now, and they have the spotlight, and they have the microphone. Be careful. Have a great rest of your week. If I don't talk to you, have a great weekend. I hope I do. But truly, I don't think I'm talking to more than 5 federal agents. So to my 5 Fed friends, from the gingerbread man to you, have a great hump day.